Hi everybody, my name is Sergey Baidashny and I'm a principal technical evangelist at Microsoft Canada. Today I just delivered a session for startups at Launch Academy in Vancouver about Internet of Things in the cloud. We tried to record this session, but I found that quality is not very good, so I decided to re-record it and we will distribute it to all startups around Canada. And let's start. So today I am going to discuss Internet of Things, but if you had a chance to watch my previous sessions, you know that I like to discuss things. I like to talk about microcontrollers, microboards, but today I'm not going to discuss things almost at all. I'm going to talk about Internet. I'm going to discuss how, which microcontrollers, which ways you can use in order to connect your devices to Internet, and which services you can use, you can consume, or you can build in Internet using Microsoft Azure, using Microsoft Cognitive Services, and so on. But before to start talking about Internet, I want to show a couple slides. So first of all, I want to show this slide. Frankly speaking, you can see the same picture if you visit Best Buy or Home Depot, because you can find lots of smart devices there, like smart bulbs, like devices for home automation, devices even for your pets, for dogs and cats, even not for you, and different fitness devices and so on. So today you can find 100,000 different smart devices on the market, but market is still free. Even today, if you create own, for example, smart bulb, you will be able to sell it and you will be able to generate revenue. Because today, if you visit Home Depot, for example, and see different kinds of smart bulb, you can see that they even know any special standard for them. Some smart bulbs support ZigBee, some smart bulbs support Z-Wave, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, etc. Some small bulbs allow to be connected to Internet using a special hub. Some smart bulbs allow to be connected to Internet using just your smartphone and a special application, and so on. So, market is growing very fast, but market is still free, and this growth just started, and you still have a chance to create your own device. But if you are talking about devices, I want to show these two cool charts. First of all, in the first one, you can see a prediction about Internet of Things devices in 2-3 years. So, frankly speaking, nobody knows how many devices we will have in even 5 years. So you can see that we have prediction between 25 billions up to 75 billions. So plus minus 50 billions, it depends, yeah. But today, at least, you can see that you can buy really cheap microcontroller. So why we have this growth today? Because everybody can create your own device, and everybody can spend just a couple dollars in order to buy a microcontroller that supports Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or ZigBee protocol and assemble solder own device at home. So that's why today you can see lots of startups around devices, and they still have lots of problems with startups because they still don't have enough experience how to work in this area. But if you are talking about connected devices, please pay attention on the second graph. You can see that we can talk not just about devices and not just about number of devices. We can talk about data as well. So in 3 years, some companies predict about 44 zettabytes of data that will be consumed or stored in the cloud. Yeah. So then we are talking about devices. Almost all devices today are connected to Internet. And of course, once, if you want to select your direction there, you want to create your own startup, you can work around devices, or you can work around services, and you can work around data that will be generated by these devices. Of course, you can combine both directions. Of course, then you compare devices and services, you can find some disadvantages and advantages in both areas. For example, in case of devices, of course, we have a growing market and we have lots of opportunities. As I mentioned, today you can sell anything. You can sell even a new smart bulb. But probably in 2 years it will be not so easy, because probably you don't have own factory that can produce not very expensive smart bulbs, and probably you will not able to compete with General Electric or with Philips. But in any case, you can create your own device that is something new, something innovative, like PetCube for dogs and cats. In any case, if you are working around devices, there are some problems. First of all, they are a long way from idea to production. Okay, you have an idea. You even can visit an electronic shop in order to buy some boards like Arduino or Raspberry Pi board. You will never use Arduino or Raspberry in production, but in order to see if your idea can work at all, you can buy these boards in order to create even not prototype, but something alpha version for a prototype, and see if your idea work, and probably even get some investment from your partners. But what next? Okay, you have to even after that, you can even hire some people who have knowledge in electronics. You can select the best microcontroller. You can build your prototype. What next? On the next step, probably you have to call China and ask them to produce 100 devices. After that, you can call them and ask 100,000, and you still have to think about how to sign agreements with them, how to secure your property rights, because in case of software, in some cases it's not very hard, especially if you provide access to some services. In case of devices, everybody can create a similar device in 2 times cheaper. So it's very hard to start, and of course, in order to produce even 1,000 devices, like a prototype, you have to spend much money. And even if you have good investment and if you have good idea, you have to select the best microcontroller. You can find that Microchip, Texas Instruments, ST Microelectronics, all of them have own tools, own SDK. And if you even have knowledge in Texas Instruments microcontrollers, probably it's not easy to use the same knowledge using microcontrollers from Microchip. So we have less experience in this area. From startup perspective, of course. If you are talking about devices, yeah, it's still not easy, but it's definitely good opportunities for startups, because soon you will be able to see lots of different devices. And if you have a chance to be there, you have to start thinking about devices. But the second opportunity is services. When we are talking about services, we are talking about data that you consume from devices, and we are talking about services that provide some opportunities, that provide some functionality for existing devices as well. So in case of services, there are some benefits as well and some disadvantages as well. So you can easy to develop a prototype. So you can use just your laptop in order to create your software from scratch and up to production, just using your laptop, and you have not to use some strange hardware tools, etc. And in some cases, you can use open source SDKs. You can use your favorite dev tool. You can use your favorite programming language. So it's really easy to start. After that, if you invest your money and resources to services only, after that, of course, it's not easy to start promoting your services. It depends on service itself, and you can see lots of services for Internet of Things today on the market. So some services can be promoted just for geeks, some services can be promoted for existing users. So in some cases, it's better to mix devices and services. And of course, you have to decide. I'm not going to recommend you how to start your business, what you have to select, which direction, devices or services. Probably you have to select mix between devices and services. You have to decide. Of course, if you have mix between devices and services, if you have a device and if you have good software for this device and good set of services, probably it's better to start selling this device, and probably you at least secure your property rights, because nobody will be able to redistribute your services. Yeah, you have your own storages, you have your own web part, etc. So at least try to think some time about which direction is better for you. In my case, I'm going to show how to start working with services. And of course, before start working with services, I want to show several demos today. First demo, we recorded it for our internal meeting, but I just got approval from my manager to show it externally, because my manager and couple people they involved in this video. This video shows how I can improve my working environment, especially if I am working from home, thanks to existing services. In this case, I used Skype Web API, and I use existing devices. I use Raspberry Pi 2 board like a hub, and I use several smart Philips bulbs, color bulbs, that I integrated with my Skype. Let's see the video.
Mother, mother, I want to eat.
Can you see the red light?
I know, red light means that Sergey has an important call. Mother, mother, I want to drink.
Okay. All right, B5.
Missed.
Okay.
D7.
Killed.
Yes, I won this game.
I think the next time maybe we can start discussing your performance review, Sergey. Bye.
Bye, Tommy.
Relight! Relight!
Oh, I have a problem.
So, teleporter API is still not released, but at least if you want to integrate your bulbs with Skype status, you can use you can create a similar demo. So in this case, I showed how to use existing services. Okay, before to start talking about how to create own services, I want to discuss, I want to spend some time in order to discuss communication protocols. Because working with startups, I found even today, I had a chance to read several articles about, I just created a smart power socket with Wi-Fi. I just created a smart light switcher with Wi-Fi inside. So I don't know why, but many people think about smart devices. Let's talk about smart homes, like about something like this. So lots of devices that are directly connected to internet using Wi-Fi router, and all these devices have a Wi-Fi connection inside. It's not so true. It's not so true, and if you visit any electronic shop or Home Depot or Best Buy, you can find that current smart devices support not just Wi-Fi. Current smart devices support lots of different protocols. You can find devices that support Bluetooth. You can find devices that support the most popular protocols like ZigBee and Z-Wave for smart home automation. You can find some industrial devices that support long-range protocol LoRa. And if you are going to develop services, if you are going to develop some service layer, you have to know about it. So not all devices have a chance to directly connect to internet using Wi-Fi, for example. Why people try to integrate own devices with ZigBee or Z-Wave, but not with Wi-Fi? First of all, Wi-Fi has some problems, some disadvantages in this area. For example, imagine a smart bulb that can be connected to Wi-Fi. In this case, first of all, you have some limited network capabilities, especially if you have a big house. You have to think about how to cover, how to guarantee a stable connection in all areas of your house, especially if you have some small buildings outside. You have to guarantee stable Wi-Fi connections there as well. So if you're talking about Wi-Fi, you have to spend much time in order to understand how to cover all your house with Wi-Fi. Additionally, if we are talking about Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi require much power. So if we are talking about smart devices, especially smart bulbs, smart power sockets, it's not a good idea to connect them to Wi-Fi, because in this case, you will not be able to save your money. You have to pay much more money, because Wi-Fi modules will consume much power. So it's not a good idea to connect low power devices to Wi-Fi. Of course, if you build your smart home, in some cases you even will not able to build to connect your devices to Wi-Fi. So try to buy a Philips bulb. You can find that Philips bulb should be connected to a special hub. Try to bulb a smart bulb from General Electric, you will see the same information. So some devices don't support Wi-Fi at all. Of course, you have some problem with management, because, okay, I have all my devices connected to Wi-Fi. What next? If I am not at home, how to manage these devices? If there any application that will decide, can decide if I have to call a policeman, for example. It should be a special local application that can check, oh, I have a problem with a couple devices related to, I have problem with my with a locker. I have to call a policeman. In this case, you will not able to distribute, to deploy such application to your router. And in some cases, you have not to deploy it to the cloud as well, because if somebody simply switch off the power or switch off internet connection, your device will not be able to operate in the proper way. So once you use Wi-Fi and once you connect all devices directly to internet, even to the cloud, you probably can find some problems and can see some problems around device management. So how to manage all these devices locally. And of course, even if I am at home and if I have a local application on my Windows phone, for example, I definitely don't want to connect each of these devices directly. And if I have devices from different manufacturers, I don't want to run several different applications, etc. So when we are talking about local network, it's better to use a special device that will be connect all different devices with different protocols. And this device usually called like hub. You can visit even Home Depot and find that V-Link hub or Samsung hub. You can buy for 99 Canadian dollars. And usually these hubs support almost all modern communication protocols like Zigbee, Z-Wave, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, etc. So these devices can be like a specific router with the ability to run applications there that can connect everything. And once you want to work with some devices in your house, you can work with router, you can work with hub, with this hub. So you have to know about it, yeah, because if you want to create your own device, don't start working with Wi-Fi. Probably you have not to use Wi-Fi at all. Probably you have to think about low power protocols, communication protocols. Probably you have to think about some software that can be deployed to a hub. And probably you can create your own hub if you want. I would not recommend, because hubs cost right now not more than $99, and we support all possible protocols, so it's not a good investment today. But at least you can guarantee that, oh, probably if there are lots of hubs on the market, you can create your own device that supports exactly Zigbee protocol, and consumers will be able to use your device with third-party hubs. That is great, and you have not to think about hub at all. But you have to think about server side, of course, how to manage your device via internet, using cloud services, and so on. And if you are talking about different communication protocols, of course, if you have a very expensive device like TV, smart TV like fridge, that can show some receipts based on products, foods in the fridge itself. So if you are talking about devices that first of all consume much power in any case and always connected to power sockets, and if you are thinking about devices that consume much data from internet, Wi-Fi is the best solution. If you are talking about devices that have to work with your Windows phone or just any phone, or with your tablet, probably in this case it's better to use Bluetooth. So in this case you can run a companion application on your tablet or on your phone and can start working with devices via Bluetooth. If you are talking about smart homes, if you are talking about mesh networks, so any bulb in your home can work like a router and route messages from other bulbs that are not connected directly to the hub, it's better to use ZigBee, Z-Wave protocols, and some more advanced modern protocols as well. If you are talking about industrial applications, it's better to use long-range protocol. So, okay, we have lots of ways to communicate, but how to start work with all these opportunities, and if I want to create my own device or even prototype, what I have to do. Frankly speaking, today is not a problem at all. I already told that today we have a growing market, and it's growing fast due to price to microcontrollers. So if we are talking about but modules around Wi-Fi, around ZigBee, that you can start using for even not for prototype, for alpha version of your project, you can start using the cheapest modules that you can buy on any Chinese electronic site, like ASP8266. So you can see that this module is really small, and it cost $3 Canadian only, and it has a huge amount of memory, up to 2 MB of memory. So you can even not just use this module like a Wi-Fi module, you can even program it. So it's really easy to start. The same situation with Bluetooth. I bought this Bluetooth module for $5 Canadian only. Yeah. And it's very powerful Bluetooth module. Of course, if we are talking about production, I'm not going to use these modules in production. Because if you buy a microcontroller from Texas Instruments, from Microchip, usually you have not just a chip. You have great support, you have lots of tools, and you have lots of examples, and usually can guarantee that it will work fine. In case of ESP8266, usually you have to rely on community projects, and in some cases you can find that this model is not stable, but it's great for alpha version of your project. If you are talking about commercial versions for ZigBee, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi modules, it's not so very expensive as well. So if you visit a Texas Instrument, for example, manufacturer, you can find that their CC3200 microcontroller costs about $15 if you buy just one. $15, and you even can buy a board that contains this microcontroller. So it's really small, and it this is based ARM-based microcontroller with embedded Wi-Fi. So you can use it not just in order to connect your device to Wi-Fi, you can use it like a brain for your device as well. So all what you need to do is just buy this micro board, connect all external sensors, program it using C programming language, for example, and that's all. And it's the best way, because if you're talking about microcontrollers, you have not to think about microboard at all, because all these things is just programmer and some connectors just in order to help you to connect to external sensors. But all what you need to operate is just this microcontroller. So it's really funny, and you can buy this board for $25 or something like this. So it's not expensive as well, because many people still think about, oh, Arduino boards are the most cheapest board in the market. No, one more micro board from Texas Instruments that cost just $10. A couple of weeks ago, I bought a board from STMicroelectronic for $10 only. It has ARM CPU as well, ARM microcontroller is doesn't support Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, but it's very cool microcontroller in any case, and it costs just $10. In some cases you can buy ready-to-use modules, for example, modules for Microchip that cost just $16. You can buy ZigBee modules for $7 only. From Microchip, for example, as well. And it's funny because if you visit any electronic shop, you can find, and if you want to connect your Raspberry Pi to ZigBee, for example, you can find XB adapter, UXB module for $25 or something like this, and you have to buy XB adapter, etc. But today, if you want to create your own software, in some cases it's better even not visit electronic shops or Amazon's. It's better to visit websites related to manufacturers directly. So it's better to visit TI.com, it's better to visit Microchip.com, Atmel.com, etc. So lots of different modules, not very expensive at all. In some cases, you can find modules that supports several protocols. For example, the last one, CC2650, supports ZigBee and Bluetooth at the same time. So you can program it for Bluetooth or you can program it for ZigBee protocol. And I just ordered this module, CC2650, I ordered it, soldered in a special microboard called SensorTech. You can buy it for $29.99 from Texas Instruments site. So all what you need, frankly speaking, is this microcontroller. But you can ask why this board is too big. Is huge, yeah, compared to this microcontroller. It's because this board contains 10 different sensors, like temperature, accelerometer, gyroscope, etc. And you can use a 3-volt battery in order to start operating, start working with this board. And because it's ARM-based microcontroller, you can add your own code, you add your own logic. If you want, you can even build your own drone based on this microboard. I saw some examples in internet. So the problem, Texas Instruments forgot to create a Windows application for this microboard. We have just iOS and Android version. So I spent 2 hours in order to create my own application, Visual Studio, using Bluetooth or Energy Communication Protocol. It's easy today in Visual Studio. I still have work with interface. Probably check some scale factors for couple sensors, but at least it should work. So I will try to connect a battery, so you can see it start blinking, and let's connect to these sensors. I have to wait several seconds, so it just initialized, and you can see that I can get data from these sensors. I can click buttons. Accelerometer and gyroscope and magnetometer works fine. Scale factor is not good, I know, but at least it works. And you can see temperature, you can use infrared temperature sensor as well, this one in order to measure temperature without direct contact. You can use light sensor, and it's great, and you can see that even this small device generates lots of data, and it can generate data several times per second. So you can imagine that in 24 hours I will have probably megabytes or even terabytes of data. If I have several sensors, I have to think about huge storage, and I have to think about, okay, what I have to do with this data, and how often I have to collect and send to the cloud my data. It depends on your project. So if you're talking about fire alarm system, probably you have to collect data about possible problems several times per second. If we are talking about temperature sensor for my outdoor, like outdoor sensor, we can collect data once per 10 minutes, for example, etc. So it depends on project, but in general, sensors can generate much data. And you have to think about, okay, what I'm going to do with this data. That's why I'm not going to close this application, because I'm going to use it a little bit later. In frankly speaking, this application already sent all data to the cloud, and I'm going to show it how I made it. So let's open my presentation once again, and let's spend couple minutes about which services I can use if I want to send my data from this sensor to internet. So let's think some time. Probably first service, probably I can run a notepad, because I don't have any, I still don't have touch display in this computer. So probably first service that I have to use is a special storage, probably it's a queue. That I can use in order to store upcoming data before analyzing. Let's call this service like Event Hub. So it's a queue, but it's not just a queue, because if we are talking about queue, frankly speaking, we have to understand if we really use our device in order to send data, we have to provide some secure tokens. And if we have 1,000 devices from time to time, we have to probably disable some of them, etc. So Event Hub probably is the second service that we have to use. Probably the first service, it should be a special layer between Event Hub and between our sensor. Probably it should be something like, I don't know, let's try to call it IoT Hub. So at least two different services. Okay, I have my data in Event Hub. I have secure, I created a secure connection. I sent my data to Event Hub. What next? Probably on the next stage, I cannot use this data. I have to analyze it. If I created a fire alarm system, I have to analyze if something happened. Probably after that, I can delete all data. If I trying to measure temperature, probably I have to calculate average for my temperature for last 10 minutes and put it to a database. So probably I need to use a special analytic services. Let's try to call this service like Stream, because we are working with Stream, live stream from our sensor. Let's call it like Stream Analytics. Okay, I analyzed my data and I have to store it to a database. Which database I can use? Anything. So let's simply use storage here. Yeah, I can use DocumentDB based on MongoDB in order to store JSON files, and can use PoPs, I can use SQL database, etc. So anything. But it's not enough. Okay, I am a consumer. I have storage, I have stream analytics modules, but I don't understand what I'm going to do with all these components. So probably on next step, I have to use a special service that can present my data. Let's call it Power BI. So at least we can use 5 different services. Of course, we can use additional services, especially if we developed fire alarm service, and if something happened with my flat, I have to notify policemen, I have to notify special services that can help me, etc. So probably in this case, I have to execute some workflows. I have to execute some workflows, so I have to use a special component. Let's call it like Logic App. Okay, but it's not Oh, because probably I have to create a management dashboard that will help me to add additional devices if I have lots of different devices, that will help me to disable some devices, etc. In this case, I can use a simple web portal, so I can use simple web applications, for example. And probably that's all. That's all why I spent some time to discuss which services we can use. Because then we are talking when we are talking about Azure, let's start talking about services. I have this, it even can kill my PowerPoint. I have this scary slide. So it contains lots of different services, yeah, because when we are talking about Azure today, 4 years ago I talked about Azure like about hosting from Microsoft. Today is not true, because today, of course, you can rent virtual machines, you can rent, you can use basic services, but we have more than 40 different services that can help you to develop your solutions without knowledge in IT, in virtualization, and you can simply click couple buttons and create ready-to-use service. That is really cool. And when we are talking about Internet of Things, I don't like to talk about a subset of services that are especially was developed for Internet of Things. Frankly speaking, you can use any services, not just for Internet of Things solutions, and you can use any services in Azure for Internet of Things solutions as well. So it's really hard to decide which services we can use. That's why I'm going to show the most popular services. And we just tried to use real names in Azure in our notepad in order to understand which services we have to use for our project. So then we are talking about Internet of Things. Usually Microsoft select the most, even not the most important, the most popular services. And you can see all these services in IoT category, if you find documentation, etc. And probably you heard something about IT Suite. So let's start with IT Suite, because I'm not going to talk about IT Suite too much, but you have to know that when we are talking about IT Suite, we are not talking about a particular service at all. IT Suite is not a service. Let's open Azure. I lost internet connection. So, IoT Suite is not a service at all. If you open documentation, of course, you can find Internet of Things category, and you can find some information about IoT Suite. But if you click this service, this portal will not navigate you to Azure Management Portal. And if you open Azure Management Portal using this link, for example, you will not able to find IoT Suite service. Because IoT Suite is a solution that contains lots of different services that we just discussed for our project. And if we click Get Started with Azure IT Suite, of course you have to pass authentication process. I have several accounts, so I have to pass it a couple times. You can see that this portal is not Azure portal at all. And once you click New button, you can see that Microsoft proposes two different solutions for remote monitoring and for maintenance. And if you select any of these services, you will see that in general, you have to provide just name, but Microsoft will create for you at least one IoT hub, at least three stream analytic units, DocumentDB in order to store JSON files, Azure Storage, some application services for different instances, and one instance for Azure Event Hub as well. So this solution is like an example that can show us how it can look in enterprise area. So you can create your IoT suite, pay attention to that, because it lots of different units, it will eat your Azure credit, if startups have about 150 per month, it will eat your credit very, very fast. and you're not able to run anything else. So if you are going to see what you have to get at the end, and not just get at the end, but a very quality solution that has the best configuration and will present data in real time, you can use IT Suite. But I would recommend to use services, Azure services, one by one in order to understand how to build all these things. And when I developed my solution for this board, I spent probably 5 minutes in order to set up all services that you can see in IoT Suite as well. But I set up it one by one, and I really understand how it works, and I could select the best configuration because I know that I have just one device and I'm not going to use it for public. I'm going to use just for my demos. I could use in some cases free instances, in some cases I use not free but one instance, stream unit, etc. So in case of IoT Suite, once you create your service, you will able to open a special portal, and on this portal you will be able to see different graphs, some sensors, you can download some emulators and add it to the dashboard, etc. So just like an example how you can build your own solution. But I would recommend to build your own solution from scratch. So if we are talking about own solution from scratch, we can use the same set of services that Microsoft used for Azure IoT Suite. So first of all, IoT Hub. Probably you still remember that I talked about IoT Hub plus Event Hub. So IoT Hub that can manage our devices and Event Hub that can manage our messages in a queue. In case of Azure IoT Hub, when you are working with IoT Hub, you are working with embedded Event Hub as well. So IoT Hub includes Event Hub, so you have not to think about additional service in this case. You simply have to create IoT Hub instance, and you will be able to store your messages, not just information about devices, but store your messages as well. You can see that in this case, Microsoft used Stream Analytics in order to work with messages, and all messages should be stored to above. And after analysis to Event Hub. WebJob, a special WebJob, work with Event Hub in order to read information about some problems with our messages. And all these things can be connected to a special web and mobile applications. So you have to create a special instance of web applications, and this web application can work with your messages. After Stream Analytics can work with your Bob in order to present your data, in order to allow you to manage devices and many other things. So it's just a dashboard for your company that shows everything. And of course, in this case, we used Azure Active Directory in order to run Power BI, and we used Logic application in order to run some workflows. In our case, we are not going to build a so complex solution. We are going to use just probably three services. First of all, of course, if you are going to connect this device to the cloud, you have to use Azure IoT Hub. Azure IoT Hub can secure communications between your devices and between cloud. So you can register your devices in IoT Hub. You can get all needed information that you can use for authentication, and you can disable your devices. You can even send messages to external devices in order to invoke some update features, in order to just notify them about something, etc. Of course, we have to use Azure Stream Analytics because my device collects data once per 3 seconds. And I'm not sure if I'm going to show all this data on the on a chart. We have to use Power BI. We are going to use Power BI in order to present our data in real time. So, first of all, Internet of Things Hub. Then we are talking about Hub. You can create your IoT Hub using new management portal. The best place to start working with Azure is azure.microsoft.com. You can click portal, and I already created Internet of Things hub there. But you can create a new hub just in a couple clicks. Usually you have to provide just name for your hub. And you can see that hub provides information about a number of devices that are connected to the hub, about number of messages. In this case, I'm using free version of ISP, Azure IT Hub. Free version allows to collect up to 8,000 messages per day. And just in order to test, it's great. Even for my demos, it's great. And once you set up your hub, you can see all connected devices. Of course, you cannot use this panel in order to connect your device. It's better to create a special management own panel, and this supports lots of different SDKs that can help you to create, to register your devices in hub. But you can use this panel in order to disable device, in order to read some information about connection strings that your device have to use in order to connect to hub. And of course, you can manage some settings. You can manage different policies. So you can see that there are several roles. A role for my device. In using this role, device can just send messages to IT hub. There are some additional roles. For example, read-write role allows me to create management applications that will add new devices, and I can use it like a management panel for my company, for example, or for my home, etc. Service roles, IT owner role, etc. And you can create your own role if you want, and you can assign different permissions to each of them. So, frankly speaking, that's all about IT Hub. Yeah, so it's a service that allows to collect messages and that allows you to manage connection to different devices. And in this case, you don't have many utilities, many dashboards. You simply have to use an SDK, because probably if you want to add a new device, you will not ask your consumers to visit Azure portal. You have to provide a special panel that allows to manage all devices in my flat or in my house, etc. So that's all, but what next? After that, once I registered my device, I created a special console application. I have to use some SDKs in order to send notifications from my device to IT Hub. In my case, because I developed a companion application, my Windows 10 application sent notifications to IT Hub. But my companion application used C Sharp. What if I use this device, and what if I going to connect this device directly to IT Hub? This device is based on Texas Instruments microcontroller, and Texas Instruments does not support Windows 10. I don't know why, but does not support. And in case of Texas Instruments, I can use Texas Instruments real-time operating system. So what I have to do? In order to manage all these things, we created open source projects called Azure IoT Device SDK. Using this SDK, you can connect almost any device to Azure IoT Hub. So we have SDK in C that you can use together with Texas Instruments real-time operating system. And we declared it, but we tested it as well. So you can find a table of all tested devices, like TI, RTOS, Free RTOS, different Linux operating systems, Windows, etc. And you can select your favorite language. You can select C. In case of TI, RTOS, you have to use C. You can select JavaScript, Node.js, Java, .NET, etc. So there is no problem. Of course, all Microsoft Azure services support RESTful API. I don't like to use it. It's better to use even open source SDKs. So it's better to download SDKs, and it's better to create your software that will connect Azure IoT Hub and send all data. So it's not very complex. It's not very complex. If you visit Azure IoT documentation page, it contains information about how to connect RTOS from Texas Instruments, how to connect FreeRTOS, how to connect, how to create applications on Linux, etc. So it's not a problem at all. In case of assembly programming language, of course, you have to spend much more time, but in general, it should not be a problem. So V supports all possible devices. And you could see that Microsoft announced during the build conference lots of different IoT kits. For example, kits based on this Wi-Fi adapter. This Wi-Fi adapter supports Arduino platform as well, so you can use native firmware from the manufacturer of this device, or you can upload Arduino firmware there. I would not recommend to buy any kit, because if you buy this device and if you buy LEDs and different sensors from a Chinese side, it will be not so expensive. If you are going to buy something that you can simply connect to the USB and start, don't thinking about there to buy additional sensor and LED, probably it's better to buy a kit. And you can find information even how to connect this thing to Azure IoT. So it's not a problem at all. Connection is not a problem. And one more thing about this device. This device costs $29.99, but you can see that because it contains ARM CPU, it contains lots of sensors, it looks like Apple Watch. I just need to connect a display to this device in order to get Apple Watch for $29.99. Of course, display costs additional money, but we have display as well. Display costs about $15, so in general I can get a device like Apple Watch for $50 only. It shows that today devices are not very cheap, and you have not to spend much money really to create your own device, but you will not able to generate much revenue probably in 2 years, because somebody else will create a cooler device or the same device at least, etc. So it's better to invest not just to devices but to services as well. So, I think it's clear about Azure IoT Device SDK. If we are talking about connection, if we are talking about devices that you can connect to IoT Hub, of course, IoT Hub supports the most popular communication protocols like MQP, MQTT, and HTTPS. You can use these protocols in order to connect device to IoT Hub directly, or you can use Hub, for example, in case of smart bulbs that support ZigBee, of course, it's better to use Hub, and Hub will connect your devices to IoT Hub. Or if you have something special, you can develop own Hub, or you can develop own proxy service on cloud side that will connect your device to IoT Hub. So you can connect anything. In case of SDK, of course, it's better to use SDK, our SDK, with devices that can be connected to IoT Hub directly, or with a field gateway, with a hub that can be connect all your devices to IoT Hub directly as well. And you can use SDK, of course, in order to develop your management software. So if you want to create a dashboard that will be able to register your devices, disable it, and get some information from these devices, you can use these SDKs as well. In this case, of course, it's better to use Node.js, it's better to use Java, C Sharp, so it's not very hard as well. It's probably the simplest thing there. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, IoT Hub is connected to Event Hub, so you have not to create a special instance of Event Hub. And you can use the same features like you have in Event Hub, working with partitions, working with topics, etc. And once you connect your device to IoT Hub and once you start sending events, you have to create a Stream Analytics unit. In case of Stream Analytics and in case of Power BI, I would recommend to use old management portal for Microsoft Azure, managewindowsazure.com, because these services are still in preview and we still did not migrate to the new portal. So using old panel, you can work with Stream Analytics service and you can connect it to your IoT Hub. How to do it? It's very easy, it's really easy. So let's open my Stream Analytics. I will stop it for a couple minutes in order to show input and outputs, inputs and outputs, input and output streams. So let's click. It's still not stopped, but in any case, you can see that it's really easy to set up this service. First of all, you have three important tabs. You can see that we just added a functions tab. This tab allows to use new features like Lambda expressions in Amazon. We have functions now, finally. So if you are talking about inputs, you can collect your data from different sources, from different streams. In my case, I'm using IT Hub, of course, stream. But if you want to create several streams, you can, still not can, it's still stopping. But once it's stopped, you can connect one more input stream, two, three, as many as you want, and done, add input. So you can see that you can connect to static data storage, or you can connect to data stream. In case of data stream, you can get your data from Event Hub, from Blob Storage, or from IoT Hub. So it's really easy. You can select the right stream, and you simply have to provide a name for the stream that you already created in Azure. After that, you have to provide outputs, because you have to, okay, you analyzed your data and you have to provide a storage. There you can, you will store your data. In my case, I'm using Power BI, but you can add additional outputs. So you can see, you can send your data to SQL storage, you can send your data to Blob storage, to Event Hub, Power BI, and blah, blah, blah. Too many things. All what you can imagine, you can send your data. So there is no problem. I'm using Power BI. You can set up several outputs. I'm going to start my service once again. You can see that I have select custom schedule. I can start it right now. And one more important tab, query tab. On this tab, I can create my query. You can see that language is very similar to SQL, so nothing special. In this case, I select data from my input stream from my IT Hub, and I sent it to Power BI stream. And I am using a window 60 seconds each. So I simply collect all data for 60 seconds, calculate average for them, and send it to Power BI. Power BI is a one more service that allows me to present data. But all commands, as I mentioned, they are very similar to Transact SQL. And you can find all commands on a slide. Probably you can put it on a slide, and you have not to use a very small font in order to put all these commands. So it's really very easy to understand how to create these queries. So you can copy several existing queries using documentation page, etc. So nothing special. Once you, of course, if you want to create more advanced queries with several input streams, for example, you have to spend some time to understand how to combine your data and how to finally publish it to output stream. And that's all. Because I'm sending data to Power BI, I can use Power BI service that allows me to build my reports using this data. Let's open my... let's open my presentation once again. So once I analyzed my data, I can use Power BI service. Power BI service allows me not just store data, but Power BI service provides lots of different APIs. So in general, I can embed reports based on my data, real-time reports to my applications. It has a RESTful API, of course. It has lots of different components, and you can easily embed reports to many different applications, not just to Windows applications. Or you can use external tools, including web tools, including web portal, and including Windows 10 application, for example. So you can even build web applications that will present real-time data, like Yahoo, that present data about funds, different funds. So let's open Windows 10 application. In my case, I am using Microsoft Power BI for Windows 10. Let's open my report that I just created. And this report will connect to Power BI. I didn't spend much time with design, of course. I just drag and drop a report and just connected it to my data about humidity and about temperature. You can see that in my case, I have not very bad humidity. I had a problem with temperature up to 29 degrees at Lunch Academy. So I noted about it, yeah, so temperature was really high, at least for me. But right now I'm at home and temperature is a little bit better. So, and humidity, not very good, frankly speaking. Oh. 57%, so I have to open my window. Or I have to connect a microcontroller to my window and open it automatically. So it depends, but at least I know that I have not very good humidity, and even I don't have very good temperature. It's 25, it's too hot for me as well. So to work. So frankly speaking, that's all about web services. And in general, if you are going to develop a similar project, you have to spend probably just 5 minutes, yeah, because you can easily create IT Hub. You can simply connect, copy 3 lines of code in order to connect your device to IT Hub and send messages there. And after that, you have not to create any code at all. You have to create Stream Analytics, 3 lines of code, of course, in Transact SQL, not in Transact SQL, but in similar language. And that's all. Just click, 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 and done. It works. And of course, you after that, you will understand all services better, and you will understand how to make it flexible, how to increase number of instances, how to manage performance, and many other things. So you have not to create a ready-to-use solution yet, because in that case, you will spend much time in order to understand what Microsoft created for you. But you can do the same things from scratch, and it will not and you will not spend much time for this. So it's really great. I just showed how it works with my service site. And if you're talking about services, you can use additional services. Of course, I already told that if you're going to build a management portal or a portal that presents your graphs, charts, you can use web applications based on many different languages. In case of web applications, you can use Node.js, you can use .NET, Python, PHP, Ruby, Java programming language. And you can create a web application and hosting for a web application just clicking a couple buttons, and that's all. You can use mobile applications. It's the same with web applications that supports ready-to-use API that you can consume, usually will consume in mobile applications. Logic applications that can run your workflows. API application that simply provide API based on modern standards, and you can consume this API in your client applications. And of course, you can use some additional services like Notification Hub if you want to send notifications, not tagging notifications, to many different devices, including Kindle, iOS, Windows Phone, Windows 10 devices. You can use Notification Hub in this case and simply send notifications about current status to consumers, to admins, to anybody. If you want, you can use additional services. Of course, in case of Active, of course, in case of Power BI, it's better to use Active Directory, at least basic Active Directory. Of course, you can use some services around big data. You can use Hadoop database. You can use additional proxy services, etc. So too many things, yeah. But basic picture does not look too complex, yeah. And at least for startups, it's great to start. If you are talking not just about how to create own services, if you are talking about existing services, Microsoft has lots of different services. I just showed Skype Web API, but you can use Graph API in order to work with Office documents, or you can use just announced cognitive services. Then we are talking about cognitive services, probably it's better to open a portal. Microsoft Cognitive. Probably you heard something about Project Oxford. Now we merged, at least we published Bing API and Bing services. We published Project Oxford services and other services on the same portal in the same place. And you can find, visiting Microsoft.com Cognitive, you can find lots of services around computer vision, around speech, speech recognition. You can use even services that we used in Skype before that help you to translate audio. So I hope that once this service will support Russian, I can present my presentations in Russian or in Ukrainian, and our services will translate it to English very quickly, automatically, and probably that English will be better. Let's see. So it's my dream, and I hope I will see it very soon. But at least today you can use up to probably 8 languages for audio translation. You can work with images, and you can make images and even video better. You can use Bing search in order to not just search something, but provide image that you're going to search on internet. You can track faces, you can track faces and people and some activities even in video stream, etc. You can see lots of examples clicking any service, and you can see usually not just documentation and not just SDK, but you can find some examples about API. So let's make a demo. We showed project about cognitive services called CaptionBot AI. Let's use this portal in order to analyze my own image. This portal can simply describe that it can see on the image. So let's provide an image, my image. I fished this salmon, it's 24 pounds salmon. And let's see if this service can recognize something. So you can see that this service thinks that it's a man, it's great, standing next to a river, and he seems probably happy. This service still cannot recognize salmon. I hope that once I publish this photo to Facebook and make several tags to recognize salmon as well. But at least it works great. Yeah, in some cases you can receive some funny results. So let's try. Let's try, and you already heard about Microsoft Bot, you already heard about some additional services, so all these things are ready to use, and you can start using it today. I'm not going to spend much time, because I already spent more than an hour for the content, and in general, it's possible to create a separate track about each of these services. But just pay attention. You can create devices, you can create own services using existing infrastructure from Microsoft, and if you want, you can consume existing services in order to find new opportunities, in order to generate new businesses, because we provide cool services, but on your end, you can decide what you are going to do with them. And how to start? If you're talking about startups, we have a very cool program called BizSpark. In case of BizSpark, you have access to Microsoft Azure for up to $150 per month. If you have a really cool project and if you contact us, we can increase this amount up to several thousand per month. I would recommend to visit this link, and I would recommend to start. If you still not BizSpark, I would recommend to start thinking about to be member of BizSpark program. We don't have any specific requirements. You have to be a startup, and you have not to generate even more than $1 million. So usually it's not very hard. You can contact me if you are working in Vancouver. I can easily provide you a special promo code, and you will be able to register in BizSpark program in a couple of seconds, of course, once I read your email. And it's not very hard. for 3 years, not just Microsoft Azure, but all Microsoft software. So really cool program for startups. And I hope in 3 years, probably you create several more startups, or finally you generate several millions of dollars. And some resources, you can visit Canadian Developer Connection website, you can visit our training about Internet of Things. We just started publishing several videos almost right now about things, not about Internet, but soon I'm going to publish videos about about Internet. They going to discuss different services or Microsoft Azure services in details. You can find link to Azure IT SDK and of course Microsoft Com Cognitive Services. That's all. Thank you for your time. And if you have any questions, please email me. Thank you for your time.